Hey, everybody, it's Kai. This is the Corner Office Podcast, new episode for you today. Obviously, you know that because it showed up in your feed. Today, I'm talking to Dara Khosrowshahi. He is the CEO of Expedia, the travel company that lets you search prices for a bunch of different airlines or hotels and car rentals from their website. Also owns a bunch of other travel companies you might have heard of, Travelocity and Orbitz and Trivago, to name just a couple. Here he is, Dara Khosrowshahi.
We're expecting you. Won't you have a seat?
Ready to go to work?
There are a whole lot of ways to start this interview, but I'm going to go with the most obvious, which is this. You are an immigrant to this country from Iran. You run a company now that is based on global travel at a time when the United States, by all appearances, is pulling up the drawbridge in a whole lot of ways. So the question is, really, how's business and how are you feeling about it?
Well, business right now is fortunately quite good, and it goes back to travel and I think our moving from a society of stuff to a society of experiences. If you look at global travel, it's grown faster than global GDP, around 2 to 3 times faster than global GDP. It's over $1.4 trillion now travel spend on a global basis. And our business is one of the largest travel companies in the world. We did about $72 billion of travel spend last year, up over 20%. So we're in good shape. And as more people travel and more people are traveling every year and more of them go online and more of them are going online every year, we are in really, really good shape. I think that the danger is travel coming into the United States. Right now, if you look in the U.S., about 1 in 8 or 1 in 9 jobs are based in travel and tourism. Last year, over 77 million foreign tourists came into the U.S. And these are very big job creators. You know, you can't outsource hospitality jobs, right? These are real jobs. They're, help desk clerks. They're people in the lobby helping you out. They're stewardesses who are servicing travelers. And we think that travel being such a great job creator and being such a great export is something that is important as an economic force going forward, and it's something that we have done a lot of work in promoting. So we work with the U.S. Travel Association to really promote the U.S. as a destination, and I think it's in our interest, and it's in the country's interest to do so.
Do you believe the president of the United States agrees with you?
I think that the president, in his core, agrees with me because he would agree. Listen, he's in the hospitality business, right? Mm-hmm. He owns hotels. He believes in the hospitality business. He's certainly familiar with the money you can make, the jobs you can create, you know, in his old job. So I think he understands. And I think that what's important for him to understand is there's a first order effect of what you do and a second order effect. You know, the first order effect of a travel ban might be being slightly more safe on a theoretical basis. But the second order potential effect of making the United States a more unwelcoming place really can hurt our economy and really can hurt what we stand for as a country, as a nation of immigrants. And, you know, I personally feel that because I've been personally affected by it and I was welcome when I came into this country. And it's such a powerful force that I think he has to keep mind of and understand that we at our core are a nation of immigrants, and that core is incredibly important to protect as well as our people.
Let me change gears here for a minute and get to the business part of this conversation. Barry Diller, the guy who runs IAC, says you – specifically, you are the reason that his giant internet company got into the travel business. How did that come to pass?
You know, it was a little bit by chance, actually. We were we owned a company called Ticketmaster, very well known at the time. And at the time, it was the olden days when Ticketmaster sold concert tickets physically and over the phone. I don't know if you're old enough to remember going to Tower
Sadly,
Records
yes.
and buying a Madonna ticket, for example.
Hey, no, never, but and whatever.
Never, of course not. Now I'm not Madonna. She's wonderful. Yeah. And so in those days, the Ticketmaster team built an internet team and they started selling tickets online. And we saw that the share of tickets going online moved very, very quickly online. And when we looked at where the share was coming from, it was coming from telephone transactions. And so we started looking at industries where you have to buy tickets in advance. It's a virtual good. And that ticket is fulfilled really over the phone. And it's a reserved seat. And that looked a lot like travel, you know. And so we started looking at travel companies who were starting to move online. We started with a company called Hotel Reservations Network that was selling discount hotels over the phone, over a 1-800 number that they advertised in the USA Today, and started with them. We bought the URL hotels.com, and that kind of got us off to the races to bring in Expedia and a number of other leading brands that now make up Expedia Inc. So it was a little bit by accident, but it's been a great ride, and it's such a fun industry to be a part of.
Seems almost quaint now. Back in the day, people actually did this on the phone and you know, had to pick it up and maybe talk to somebody, and you're like, wait, what?
Yeah, you know, and the travel agent at that time was a person who had all the power. You know, there's a travel agent behind a desk that had this green screen that had all the fares and had all the prices. And you as a consumer were dependent on the travel agent for everything. And the spirit of this company has been to turn around that screen and to give the power and the data and all the choices to the consumer so the consumer can be their own travel agent and they can dream about going anywhere in the world and with a click of a button, book it.
When did you know that online travel and Expedia was going to make it? Was it like a thing and you're like, oh, yeah, this is it and we're just going to get all in? Or was there a period when you were like, I don't know yet?
You know, I'd say it was off to the races. Mm-hmm. I mean, the move online was uninterrupted and continues uninterrupted to this day. I think if there was one time when we questioned whether or not we wanted to dive in was actually when we had signed up to buy Expedia. And September 11th happened, the horrible terrorist attacks happened. And that was certainly gave a pause to travel in general. And we had a chance to get out of the deal, to back out of the deal. And I remember a bunch of executives getting together with Barry and discussing, should we back out of this deal? And Barry kind of looked around and said, you know what? If there's life, there's travel. And people are going to live and people are going to start traveling again. Let's go. And that was a really important decision. We could have stepped back, but I think Barry's vision really pushed us to go forward and we haven't looked back since.
This is a little bit sideways of a question. And I will say in advance that we've had Barry Diller on the program. Fascinating, totally interesting guy. What's it like to work for somebody who is as iconic as Barry Diller is?
Oh, it's great. It's great. Now, Barry always keeps you on your toes. Barry loves the conflict that comes with arguing really interesting points of view. He loves someone taking a counterpoint of view to him because he loves that fight. And for him, what drives him isn't about being right, but getting to the right answer and the process of getting to the right answer. And for me, it's just been so great working with someone like that who is always challenging not only everyone in the room, but himself to get better and better and get a better understanding of the world and himself and the companies that he's involved with. So it's been a great partnership. It's been over 15 years. My hope is that he likes me enough to keep me around for another 15.
So let me ask you a business model-ish question here, right?
Sure.
What's to prevent – so you go to Expedia and you can buy tickets and packages and tours and all this jazz. Mm-hmm. But if I'm United Airlines or Marriott or whatever, why throw my lot in with you? And why not go direct to the consumer more to avoid having to pay you?
Well, I think it's not an either-or. Listen, it's healthy for a United or a Marriott or a Hilton to have a great site. But for us, we bring to these brands unparalleled audience on a global basis. Over 600 million users globally come to our sites. And the fact is that of every 10 people who come to our sites, the majority of them don't book on our site. They're searching on our site. They're trying to explore. They want to see what they have available. And many of them, after searching on our site, they go direct to a United or go to a Marriott. So we are really kind of an audience aggregator. And of course, many of them book on our site because we make it really easy. And especially when you combine air and hotel and car together, it's like an internet bundle where if you buy more than one of a thing, you get a deep discount. So many of them especially come to us because of the discounts and the loyalty programs that we have. So it's not either or. It's actually both.
Do we travel? I mean, how long have you been running this company? 10, 12 years as a...
11 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We travel and book our travel now differently than we did when you took over.
Definitely. And more and more, I'd say the biggest sea change now is the mobile phone.
Yeah.
And people constantly browsing on the phone and really making decisions wherever they are. And the mobile phone, especially outside the U.S. and in Asia-Pacific markets, whereas in the U.S. it's been telephone to computer to mobile phone, the Asian consumer is just skipping over the computer, going right mobile, and everyone has to go along with it.
Hmm. Economy's good now. Travel is a luxury. How attentive are you to the larger macroeconomic trends?
Travel moves with economy, and I would argue that it's not a luxury. I think people now want to travel. Listen, what we saw is when the economy was bad, people may have put off their car purchases, but they still went on summer vacation. And they might have taken a shorter vacation, or they might not have gone to France. Maybe they went to Florida for their vacation. But travel, I think, is something that feeds the soul. It is a necessity now. I think experiences are what make people happy. You see study after study after study that it's not stuff that creates happiness. It's actually experiences that you share with your family and your friends. So travel for us has been a real growth vehicle that's been growing faster than the economy. Obviously, the economy has an effect. But travel and online travel so far, I'm knocking on wood here, is doing quite well, and we expect it to continue to grow.
But then you see stuff like airlines, specifically United, I guess, this week, saying, we're going to sell this super basic discount, which gives you basically a place to sit, and that's it, right? I mean, there's a race to the bottom in travel that cannot be a good omen for you.
I think that there's a race to choice, and I think that the internet is a great debundler. You know, if you look at the cable package, it's being unbundled. And I think at travel, you're seeing the same thing, which is to some extent, when you go on an airline, it's a bundle. It had been a bundle of services. It was a seat and it was a bag to check. And it used to be food and snacks, etc. And I think that with the internet, you have so many choices that you can unbundle and a consumer then can choose exactly what they're willing to pay for or not pay for. So I think it's popular to say, oh, God, there's a service that is just basics and it's just a seat. The fact is that service is cheaper. And if you want to buy your own food and you don't want to check a bag, you can get exactly what you want. And I think that's a magic of the industry. So I think what United is doing, it's good. It's lowering the cost of travel and getting people to only pay what they want, which I think is a good thing going forward. And by the way, it makes our service more interesting because the more stuff you have to offer to travelers, the better our services get.
So acknowledging that part of your job is to present the positive face of global travel and Expedia, it can't all possibly be sunshine and light. What's your biggest nightmare?
I think right now the consternation relating to our president and the executive order as it related to travel was something that was a big issue. The passing of it created lots of chaos. We had 1,000 travelers who were affected by the executive order. And as a company, we don't want to be jumping around taking political stances as a company. You know, that's for our users. We're here to serve our users. But our customers were affected. With uncertainty, companies don't like uncertainty. Travelers don't like uncertainty. So the more we move to a certain stable global situation and U.S. situation, the better. And right now, that instability out there is how I describe as some clouds that we hope are going to clear up.
Since you mentioned you don't want companies or your company specifically, since you speak only for it, you don't want your company taking a political stance or changing with the political winds. What do you make of all of these CEOs coming to break bread with the president at the White House?
Listen, I think it's a choice. I do think that it is important for the president to hear about the concerns and views of others. and for their voices to be heard. I think it's a choice. It's an individual choice as to CEO whether they want to go or they don't want to go, whether they want to be seen in that photo op. I'm certainly not one to judge.
Who's your biggest competition? I mean, do you worry about Google deciding it wants to get into travel? Do you worry about Airbnb, Facebook, what?
We've got a ton of competition. If you look at the travel industry, it's a $1.4 trillion industry, and we're one of the bigger players, and we're about 5% of the industry. So Google is a competitor in terms of travel search, but they're a huge partner. We spend billions of dollars on Google to advertise travel search, and they're a terrific partner as well. So this is a industry that is marked by competition and what I would call co-opetition as well. We are a terrific partner with Marriott, and at the same time, we do compete with Marriott.com for eyeballs. So there's lots of competition out there in the industry. The good news is that the industry overall is growing. So I think that the rising tide is going to help all boats. I think the companies, the travel companies who are not investing in technology and are not investing in customer service, I think they over a long period of time are going to suffer, which is exactly why we're making the kinds of investments as a company going forward.
Where was the last place you traveled on a non-professional trip?
The last place that I traveled was actually Seville in Spain, and it was an absolutely delightful city. Wonderful.
Dara Khosrowshahi is the CEO of Expedia. Dara, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.
All right, that's it for today's Corner Office podcast. Thanks so much for listening. We do appreciate it, by the way, when you rate this podcast on iTunes, or better yet, tell us what you think of it. If you don't like it, tell us that too, but just be kind, okay? This episode was produced by Bridget Bonner. No, I mean it. Be kind. Bridget Bonner. Marketplace is produced by Nancy Fargali. Sitar Nieves is the executive producer. Deborah Clark is the senior vice president and general manager. We'll see you again in a couple of weeks, all right?